To talk tonight about getting back to salvation, talking about some basic things tonight, and then there's some of the things I might take some rabbit trails on. So, you know, I have the liberty to use rabbit trails every once in a while. Mm-hmm. Well, let's turn to 2 Chronicles 20:20, and I got quite a few scriptures tonight, like normal, but we're going to get into the Word tonight, and one of the things that I think it's interesting as we read this is, well, and I'm kind of mentioning some things here, I'm kind of a couple of different things to look at, but as we as believers, we need to understand the role of prophets or at least ministers, don't we? And how that, you know, is going to intertwine with us. And we look at 2 Chronicles 20:20, and this is King James, because I like the way the King James says it, but it says, they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established, and believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Now, the reason I talk about some of these things is because obviously we hear a lot of different, you know, a lot of different things out there, and I don't obviously, you know, endorse everybody out there. And I know that there's some things that people have talked about. You know, well, we're you know, to obey the prophets because they'll quote the scripture. Well, number one, I want to talk about first of all is the Old Testament prophets are not like the New Testament prophets. Okay, that's a key. All right, and also in the Old Testament, there was two ministry gifts. One was a priest and one was a prophet. The priest ministered unto the Lord on behalf of the people, right? So they brought sacrifices unto the priests. They had burnt offerings or whatever they needed. That was unto the Lord. The prophets spoke to the people on behalf of God, right? Now, there's some things to think about, too, during this time period was, and again, this word is still good today, all right? It doesn't mean that it doesn't exist because maybe some things have changed. But what it does is they were speaking to people who were spiritually dead, right? They did not have the ability to hear from God themselves. They had to rely on the prophets. Why? Because they weren't born again. Just like Hillbilly Hank was talking about. See? Yeah. And so, you know, they didn't have the ability to hear God from themselves, right? And so we see things in the Bible. You know, for example, you know, they were putting out fleeces. Well, what's a fleece? Well, that's something where God, if you do this, then I'll do this, right? Well, that was the Old Testament because, again, they didn't have the ability to hear from God for themselves. They had some scripture at that time. They didn't have that much, not as much as we do. They didn't have the New Testament. But they had very limited, and they didn't have the ability because, again, the life of God was not on the inside of them. We see three offices, where was the prophet, priest, and king, had the anointing come upon them, right? And what was it? To do a particular job, something that God did. He didn't dwell in hearts yet. Am I losing you yet? Are y'all with me? So again, there's a little difference there. Now, the scripture, I believe, still stands for the day because we need to take it over to the New Testament application and find out what is for the New Testament. Obviously, that's ministers, right? But we're not here to tell you what to do all the time. Does that make sense? Yep. Right? Because you have some responsibility on your end. Mm-hmm. And so the primary job, and let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Ephesians 4, 11. And I'm going some places here tonight to kind of circle back on some things. But Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And then verse 9, obviously the people who say Jesus didn't go to hell, verse 9, read that, right? And it says, now he ascended, what is it, but he also, what, descended first into the lower parts of the earth. So what, he, and then we see in Revelations also that he took away, what, death and hell, right? He has the keys of death and hell. So what did he do during those 3 days? He was in hell. And he came back in Revelations with the keys. Ripped them out of away from Satan. He has no control over us anymore. And then verse 10, and he, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above of all heavens, that he might be fill all things. And then verse 11, we want to get to, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Okay, now, this is the New Testament function, right? The Old Testament function was only prophets, and then we had priests. Now we have apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, don't we? So we have five. And who was it? It was given to us in this dispensation, right? So when Christ died, he went for heaven. At that time, this scripture says that he gave gifts unto men, and those are ministry gifts. Again, is this to tell us what to do? Is this a rule over us? No, it's not. Keep reading for verse 12, and it says, what is it for the perfecting of the saints? Now, I've got it here in the New Living Translation. I want to read it in the New Living Translation. And it says, and the same one who, verse 10, who descended is the one who ascended higher than all of the heavens so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Verse 11. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, right? So people who are what we call minister gifts were actually gifts to the body of Christ. Why is that? The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ, right? So my job is not to tell you what to do with your life every minute of the day, right? It's not. I'm here to mature you, tell you things you don't want to hear sometimes, right? Not everybody likes me. And they're not sitting here. So the people who don't like me aren't here right now. But anyway, because I'm on assignment from him, right? I'm not a politician. So I literally don't care what people think of me, right? I didn't get voted in this position. Jesus didn't ask everybody's opinion, right? And Jesus really doesn't even care what I think. Tell you the truth. I mean, he didn't consult me on the Bible. Did he consult you?
No.
No, he didn't. What's a kingdom? A kingdom means a king is in control and we're all obedient to that, right? We're thinking like a democracy a lot, or a republic, right? We don't, that's not the way the kingdom is set up. That's why you'll be in churches and, you know, they'll get mad and quabble about everything, you know, every little stupid thing. And it's like, well, what's the purpose of us? It's to equip the saints. It's to help grow people up, isn't it? It's to mature people, right? You know, when the girls were little, you know what? I mean, there are just times where I go like, you know, I'm just tired of changing diapers. You know, you ever get to that point too sometimes, especially moms in here and stuff, you know? I'm tired of changing diapers, right? I'm tired of doing laundry. I'm tired of cleaning up after myself. But praise the Lord, once we got past formula and diapers, it was like a pay raise. I mean, the clouds parted. The hallelujah chorus was singing. I mean, it's wonderful. Why? Because we're getting people to begin to grow up and mature, aren't we? Right? And that's the point. So again, you know, and I'm not saying there aren't things that people and ministers, and obviously that's why we're here, but people who proclaim to be prophets and whatever, I mean, there are some people that they have good things. And again, it's the proof's in the pudding, right? And then where are we at here? Let's move on here. It says, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Let me tell you something right now. You want job security? Become a minister of people, right? I mean, it just never stops. I mean, there are people out there who obviously need to hear the message. There's an endless ocean of people who need to be ministered to, right? I mean, you know, it's amazing how many people are broken on the inside that we work with. How many people are broken that maybe are family members or our friends? It just never ends, right? So there will never be, Jesus is still taking applications today, okay? You want a job, God will put you to work. Verse 14, then we will no longer be immature like children. No, let's just stop here for a moment. When will this happen? When we're on the other side with Jesus, right? Okay, hello. I mean, we're all going to have immature, pouty moments throughout our walk with God, aren't we? Now we can grow and mature. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love, right? Now, I like this part here, and it says, so that people, they try to trick us with lies, that we won't be influenced by that, right? The news, people around us, right? The perverted living and everything, all this other garbage out in the world, you know, oh, it's okay to do this, oh, it's okay to do this. And then when you stand up, people want to think you're crazy, right? No, that's what the Bible says. That's what a mature Christian does. We don't cave to every little fleeting thought. We don't cave to, you know, the newest trends or you know, this politically correct statement or anything else. It's like, it was wrong in the beginning, it's wrong now, and it will always be wrong. That's growing up and mature. Immature people fold, right? Immature people, well, I just have a backbone, be mature, right? It's like my kids. I love them, but we're not friends. I love them. I'm their dad, right? I'm not here to, again, I love them. But again, you know, we're not there to appease everybody. We need to grow and develop people. And that's why we want to mature. And that's why we definitely want to hit the ground running, mature, and grow up as quick as possible. Again, we're New Testament believers with the Spirit of God inside of us. And if we're Spirit-filled on us, we are not Old Testament Hebrews who are spiritually dead. That's not us. That's not you. Romans 8. Let's look at Romans 8. Romans 8. I'm going to read out of the King James, and I'm going to also read it out of the New Living Translation. I'm kind of off course here, but that's okay. I hope you forgive me. I hope it's all good. You still love me at the end of the day. Well, you have to love me, and I guess I have to love you too, right? So, you know, amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. We were in Damata, and this is our home, was Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 3 and also Romans chapter 8. Man, I tell you, you need to dig out some meat and potatoes right here. This is good. You could read this over and over and over and over again. The 8th chapter. Verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Led. So you have not received the Spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Oh, I'm sorry. I want to read King James. I'm sorry. That was the limit. Start with that. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Everybody say the sons of God. The sons of God. Verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of what? Adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So let me just say this. Anytime the Spirit of God is manifest, you're going to have peace. You're going to have comfort, right? There's going to be something there where there's joy. Read there where Philip went down to, and ministered there in the book of Acts. And it says there after he preached the gospel and people were getting born again, it says there was great joy in the city. Well, we see Simon the sorcerer. Before that, they were oppressed, right? So demonic, evil oppression, which is what the devil is, controlling people. People who are demonically influenced, they want to control everything. And it doesn't mean, you know, some people have issues. But the point is this, that people who want to control everybody and everything and have this, these extreme control problems, that's obviously demonic. Jesus is all about freedom, liberty, right? Now, doesn't mean we just throw off constraint and, you know, we'd have no rules. And that's not what we're saying at all. But what we are saying is this, that we don't have to be fearful slaves, like New Living Translation we'll read in a minute. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, what? Abba, Father. Mm-hmm. So, mature people who have the inward witness, who they understand their relationship with the Father, right? You know, how many people that I've seen over the years, they backslide, they come back to God, they backslide, they come back to God, they backslide and come back to God. The problem they have is they don't understand who their Father is. They don't understand relationship very well, do they? Verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You should know on the inside, if you are born again, that you have that witness on the inside, right? The Holy Spirit will speak to you about things. And then verse 17, and if children, then heirs of God, and what? Joint heirs with Christ. This is hard for people to understand sometimes, that we are joint heirs with Christ. When he died, went to heaven, God sees us at the right hand of the Father, just like Jesus does. Okay, now we're not equal as Jesus. Obviously, Jesus, I mean, he's, you know, accomplished so much. But we've been positioned in that place because of God's mercy. Okay? We don't deserve it, but he gave us that seat and that position because of his mercy and his love, right? And join heirs with Christ, if so, that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Some religious folks are going to have a problem with that, but that's okay. Let's read it out in the New Living Translation. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. That is such a loaded statement right there. I can't even begin to tell you. You know, God doesn't lead those people in the world at all. They have no leading. They don't. Funny, because like, I mean, I'm gonna have, and I'm probably the only one in here, but like, how many times I changed my major, right? And it's like, you know, people in the world, you have no guidance, you know, direction. Why? Because you just don't understand where you need to go, and the Holy Spirit is gonna lead us and guide us. Verse 15 in the New Living Translation. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father, for his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his, oh, I don't want to say that word, suffering. Let's just skip that last part of that verse, right? We don't want to talk about that at all, right? You know, I mean, it's amazing. You know, we all want to talk about the blessings. Woo! The financial prosperity. Yeah! Sacrificing for Jesus. Crickets, 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 crickets. Crickets in the background, right? We don't want to hear that. You know, it's interesting because I remember Rick Renner talking about he's in Russia now, and those people, when they read the scriptures, they identify with suffering. Yeah. Because that's what they went through. Americans, over here, the fat cats, right? That's Americans, you know. We've got to have, you know, some people, be out hunting sometimes or whatever. It's real cold or whatever. And I'm thinking, you know, these people 200-300 years ago, you know, I mean, this is normal for them, you know? And it's amazing how you're outside, your body just starts getting used to it. You know, like even like today, you know, I could be outside and hunting, whatever, my system, I just start getting used to it. Just started getting used to it, you know? And then when I went to Africa, I was like, oh, sweating like a pig all the time over there. I was like, oh my gosh. And these people, and then they come over here and, you know, they get in this weather and they're inside in like 75 degree weather and they're wearing a big burqa, right? Because to them, 75 degrees is cold, right? So it's all relative. But again, it's going to, and Americans, we read the scriptures often. A lot of us will see things like, hey, that's prosperity. And there is prosperity in there. But there's also that suffering side of it too, right? It's sacrificial. There's things that, I'll move on. But, you know, there's just those things on there where we don't want to hear. Acts chapter 15, verse 28. Acts 15, 28. Anybody getting anything today? Are you with me? Okay. Now this is interesting here. I'm gonna have it here, but I want to read a little farther in that because this is very good. Acts 15. I'll pull it up in my Bible here real quick. Acts 15, I want to back up. Now, this is where the church was coming, the early church was coming together, and they were trying to come up with some guidelines and some things for the church to adhere to, right? They weren't going to get real heavy into, because they came out of Levitical law, right? You make a sin, you cause a sin, and or you know have a sin, and then what's going to happen? You got to take two doves and this and that. You got to do this to it, and the priest's got to do this, and then the priest has got to take the fatted calf and put the fat on bottom, and then he gets this part of it, and they got to pour the blood of the basin, and then the blood of the top of the horns, and this. I mean, it was this whole thing, right? I mean, it is just like a doctoral dissertation on the book of Leviticus. You know, if you ever want to fall asleep, you know, read the book of Leviticus. It's better than a glass of warm milk. No, I mean, it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. What I'm saying is some of the details, right? It just gets too much sometimes. And so they're saying, we are free from this now. We now have a new covenant. Jesus already paid. We don't have to mess with animals anymore, but we really need to adhere to some things, right? So they're praying, they're doing things, and then we see here in the book of Acts, verse 15, verse 28, and it says, for it, what's it say after that? Seemed good to the Holy Ghost, right? Here we go. And to what? Us. Interesting how they had an inward witness together with the Holy Spirit. There was just, it just seemed good. Now, we're kind of getting over into being led by the Spirit here, but you'll see how many times the Apostle Paul talks about, it seemed good to me. It seemed good to me. There's some angels, and we're seeing, you know, the Apostle Paul, or Saul back then, had, you know, his road to Damascus experience where it was very dramatic. We're seeing angels popping up, you know, Mary has, you know, Gabriel, all of these, how can I say, spectacular things that we all want to see sometimes. You know, it's just like the wow factor. But, you know, that's not happens all the time, right? It just doesn't happen all the time. So they're trying to put these things together. And the interesting thing here is it says, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. Now, in today's world, it'd be like, well, it just seems like a good idea, right? So they leave the Holy Ghost out of it. But they included the Holy Ghost in the decision. Why? Because they had a born-again spirit and they were in tune with the Holy Spirit, weren't they? Very key here, all right? They didn't resort back to the Gideon time or anything else where we're going to put this fleece out, and if I wake up in the morning and if it's wet all here and this and that, and all of these things. No, they didn't do that. They just was like, okay, we're going to pray and we're going to see. And we're going to see if it's good with the Holy Ghost. If it bears witness with the Holy Spirit and it bears witness with us, then we'll move forward. And it goes on and it says, to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. So they come up with this list of things for New Testament believers to adhere to, right? They're not going to get, again, they just said, they're not going to get into this big lengthy law thing, but they are going to have some things we need to watch out for. Verse 29 says, that you abstain from meats offered to idols. Okay? The Holy Spirit felt like that is not a good thing to believers to partake of. And from blood. If you ever listen to anything, Ted Brower and talking about blood, this will make sense to you. All right. I don't want to go on a long dissertation of that, but anytime, that's why if the blood is not taken from you while you're alive, it's no good. It's very poisonous to you. It's not good, right? You can research some of his stuff. And from things strangled and from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, you shall do well, faring you well. So there's this list. You know, let me just ask you this. If we got together with a bunch of people all over the place and we decided, you know what, we're going to put a list of things together that the believers need to avoid, we would have a laundry list taller than this church, right? But you know, the Holy Spirit, he's got the KISS mentality. Keep it simple, stupid, right? Isn't that cool? You know, the things that the Lord, he'll speak to you about, it'll just be like simple things. He doesn't, there's no dissertation, there's no, it's just go here, do this. You're reading the Bible, all the things, it's just like, go here, go there, talk to Cornelius, go over here, you know? Am I boring you all tonight? You all okay? All right. Like Brother Hagin said, it's the warm, velvety feeling on the inside. It's the warm, velvety feeling on the inside. And that's what's growing and maturing. And also, another thing, which it's way too long to get it, but the main thing is the Word of God, right? So we hear anybody, whether it's a minister or anybody calls themselves prophet or whatever, if it doesn't line up with the Word, we have no obligation to believe any of it. And in fact, me. You have no obligation to believe anything that I say if it's not backed up with the Word. Amen? So when I deliver the Word, that means I am now free from any, it's now your responsibility to do what the Word says, right? I've overstuffed the turkey tonight. I'm sorry. I've got like another 2 hours worth of stuff we could talk about and discuss that I've wanted to go on. But the main thing is we as believers, see, religion will want you to, and cults and religion will want you to follow a person or an individual, right? And if you question anything, then no, we're not here to get into fights or arguments. But the point is, if we're all on the same track and we're all praying, you know, I'll watch people on TV, and Adrian and I have talked about this before, where I will be praying and things, and I'll get the same thing that other people are getting. Why? Because we have the same Holy Spirit on the inside of us, right? It should bear witness. This shouldn't catch us off guard. Oh my goodness, I just can't believe it. That's why we should have the inward witness on us at all times. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I need to stop looking at those cookies. Praise the Lord. Deliver me, Jesus, right now. And then there's pizza I'm thinking about. So anyway, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, this is a good place to stop. Amen. Because I've got a whole other direction. And Father, we come before you tonight, Jesus. We thank you that our job is to grow and mature. But we do have ministers to speak into our lives because they're there to grow us and to mature us, Lord God. But our goal moving forward, Lord, we know is to grow and develop in you, Lord. To hear your voice, Lord Jesus. To be able to hear something and on the inside have that velvety feeling or that red light, Lord, that we either know or don't know to move forward. But we also, Lord, are going to line it up with your Word every time to see, Lord, to find biblical proof and to know if it's scriptural or not, Lord. God, I pray tonight that every person in here would just have a hunger to run after you and to grow and to mature in the things of God, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord Jesus. And to reach out to other people and to touch other people, Lord God, and to bring more people in, Lord Jesus, so we can just include these truths in other people's hearts, Lord God, that their eyes are open. And Lord, we thank you tonight that the Spirit-filled message and the Spirit-filled life doesn't have to be confusing, and it doesn't have to be hard, but it's easy. Because your burden is easy, and it's light, Lord God. Your yoke is light, Lord God, that you give us things, and there's freedom, and there's joy, and there's peace when we do walk with you, Lord Jesus. Even when times aren't hard, God, you give us the grace by the Holy Spirit to be able to plow through those situations, Lord Jesus. Even when we're suffering or there's times of need or lack or anything that we're going through, Lord, my prayer is that we're sailing through those things and it'll be turned around. The test will be turned into a testimony and we'll see the glory of God being manifest and ministering to people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.